to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Plain Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
And today's date is August 20th, 2020.
The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you help out for the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
And the phone number is 620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. And in case of an emergency, text Dan. Let him know you're going to call his cell on 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news and then all about the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is simply
ProphecyHour.com. That's ProphecyHour.com. We're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally on YouTube and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base in places, in worldwide places like the city of Zagreb,
I don't know how to pronounce that one, but Croatia.
Croatia. Rawalpindi, Pakistan, Alger, Algeria.
Yeah.
And then in the USA, we have Seattle, Washington, Omaha, Nebraska, Lexington, Kentucky, and Fort Worth, Texas, made the largest group of listeners that listen to the podcast when it posts later tonight.
Yeah, they did actually. I don't know if that was a fluke or what, but there was a couple of thousand. Well, no, not a couple of thousand. I repent. There was like 1,800 people.
Almost a couple of thousand.
Yeah, that did over there. So by far it beat the other ones. Anyway, a special shout out to Pastor Marty. He emailed us from Springtown, Texas, and told us he was listening over there. And it proves my point that he listens. It didn't register on our thing, but I'll have to see what city Springtown is close to. Because, you know, the smaller towns, you know, it's wherever the internet goes to.
Right.
You know, wherever it goes out to. So, folks, please send us an email to radio@messiahsbranch.org or text to my phone, 316-619-4886. Let us know what city you're in, especially if we've not mentioned your city before. If you want to, you can also tell us how you listen to us, not required. And I won't use your text or email to solicit donations. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. For there seems to be many things afoot trying to go wrong here today, trying to keep us from printing and recording and all sorts of things. So we turn the program over to you in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Okay. Hang on here. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll get right into this. Let's start right here. And wait a minute. Let's song first. Let's have this song. And by the way, folks, I got some other songs I'm going to start playing next week. But we're doing this one today.
Fire on the mountain. Moses went to see. The bush was burning with the flame by the power of God's glory. Yeah, he had to humble down and take his sandals off as he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut, and not a hair on Daniel was hurt, and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. He was standing, standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. They were standing. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, but they had their sandals off, and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down, and they were standing, standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, "You come with sword and shield, but I am the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." He was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down. He was standing, standing on holy ground. Holy ground. Holy ground. They were standing. Standing on holy ground. Are you standing, standing on holy ground?
Well, folks, that was Brother Ben McKnight with Holy Ground, and I assure you, you really need to be standing on holy ground. In a lot of places, everything seems like it's kind of calming down, and to some people, I'm telling you, I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of months. I'm not. The more I think about it, the more I pray about it, the worse I feel about it around election time. And I don't know what's going to happen. You can see shortages of everything. We do not know what's going to happen. Maybe even a civil war in this country around election time. And so we really need to be, the first thing, of course, always is to be right with the Father. Amen. But after that, you need to have some stock. You have to do your part. Number one, make sure that you've got water. Water, water, water. Make sure you've got an alternate source of heat in your house in case the electric or anything like that goes off. I don't know how you heat in your homes, but make sure that you've got a way to heat. And, of course, food. But you
need toilet paper.
And toilet paper, of course, and that is a necessity. Absolutely. You buy about by the month anyway, don't you?
Right.
You try to, at least. But the point is you need to have the necessities. I don't know what's going to happen this winter. I just don't have a good feeling about it. But in the same light, too, so let's just get on with the program. We'll talk as we go.
Okay, it looks like Trump to bring together Israel, Arab world in an extravagant peace ceremony right before the election. Arab expert says.
That's Arabic, but...
Oh, Arabic, okay. All who survive of all those nations that came up against Jerusalem shall make a pilgrimage year by year to bow low to the King Lord of Hosts, Zechariah 14:16, Israeli Bible TM. This is the Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah, that's the Feast of Tabernacles, and it's predicted they'll come up every year to worship. Okay, but this is from BreakingIsraeliNews.com. Okay, go on.
Okay, in a recent interview, Israel's top Arab expert, Dr. Mordecai Peter, opined on the recent peace deal between Israel and the UAE on Tuesday. During the interview, Peter warned against over-celebrating the normalized agreement since the accord is still in its infancy stage of negotiations, explaining that Israel doesn't really need the Arab world.
Okay, stop a second. And this guy is kind of, he's a rabbi, but he's a kind of leftist protractor and just wants to throw a rock on everything. So he's not real happy. And like there's a lot of people in the left that don't want to have anything to do with, to make any alliances with anybody else, and they can stand on their own. But you know, you do need to make peace agreements with your neighbors. Besides, this is all prophetic. We'll get into it as we go.
Okay, fearing Iran and the Emirates want Trump to stay in office for 4 more years. That's because they know that Trump is a far greater enemy to Iran than Democratic hope Joe Biden. He added that a major benefit is that a peace deal between Arab states and Israel will to convince Jews who traditionally vote Democrat to vote for Trump. And although the Jewish population of America isn't that significant overall, in swing states like Florida, the Jewish vote can decide the election.
Okay, now stop. This peace deal wasn't made because of the election. They've been working on people that pay attention. They've been working on trying to get a peace deal with people in the neighboring for a while.
Yeah.
In fact, Egypt already has came around, and Saudi Arabia specifically has come around. In fact, they're wanting to invite Christians in. You can now go see real Mount Sinai. And these people have also said they wanted peace with Israel. I'll explain why in a minute.
Okay, Keter is confident that a ceremony between the UAE and Israel will happen on the White House lawn 1 week before the election. And although past Israeli-Arab peace accords involved just two parties, such as Egypt and Israel, Keter predicts that there will be more Arab countries than just the Emirates involved in the ceremony, which he says will be extravagant.
Okay, well, let's go off that. I agree with him on that. Already, there's some other Arab nations, because the UAE said they're making a peace accord with Israel, have came forward and said they also want to do it. But there's a reason for it, and he's kind of skating over it right now. We'll talk about it at the end of it.
Okay, Keter says that he wouldn't be surprised if Oman and Saudi Arabia take part in the ceremony as well. Imagine 6 presidents, Israel, United States, Saudi Arabia, Emirates, Oman, and Bahrain, standing together with 12 hands shaking together, singing peace agreements.
Signing
peace agreements on the lawn of the White House 1 week before the election. What will it do to the Jewish voter in the United States of America? He asked rhetorically.
Rhetorically,
yeah.
Yeah, if I didn't know the word, I
historically, rhetorically. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Keter explains that the Sunni Gulf states are so scared of Iran that they would sign a deal with the devil just to ensure Trump wins re-election in November, saying if an agreement with Satan will make Trump stay in power, the Emirates and the Saudis and all the others in the Gulf will sign this agreement with the Satan himself.
Okay, they are talking. See, he's a Jew, and he's talking about signing an accord with the Muslims. So he's calling them Satan. You know, that's what he's saying. They would be like Satan. It's not calling Trump Satan. Okay, go ahead.
Keter called Israel the gate for the Gulf states to Washington, D.C. He added that the timing of the UAE deal was no coincidence, as it comes in the lead up to the United States elections.
Okay. Clearly, the United States is not Satan, unless, of course, you ask Islam, which says America is the great Satan and Israel is a little Satan. Pretty sure it's that way, or it's vice versa. They say it all the time. The prophetic point in all this is we can see the nations that are against Iran are now coming to the table to seek peace out of fear of Iran. This is also pushing Iran closer with a great alliance to Turkey and some other countries that are calling for Israel to be conquered and wiped off the map. That alliance is part of the Antichrist alliance that at some time will produce the Antichrist. Remember, folks, we talked about the Islamic Antichrist last week. There's a report of a secret clause in the Israeli UAE agreement that allows the U.S. to sell F-35s and advanced drones to the UAE. So now, already they're getting a balance out of it because they signed an accord with Israel. Now the United States is willing to sell them some of the best fighter jets in the world to help protect this alliance in there. But this is really prophetic. The accord was first announced by Trump last Thursday. According to media reports, talks are underway between the parties to hammer out the details. A signing ceremony, now this is a confirmation of that. The signing ceremony reportedly is expected to take place in September or October. But where's that prophetic? Let's look at Ezekiel 38, which talks of the invasion of the Antichrist against Israel. God, by the way, is not Russia, and it is, and Gog is the Antichrist. Okay.
Okay, chapter 38, Ezekiel 1 through 14.
And just read it all, but you don't have to read it fast. You got enough time.
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal.
Meshach and Tubal.
Meshach and Tubal, the prophecy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord Yahweh, Behold, I am with thee, O Gog.
No, I am against thee.
Oh, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords.
Okay, stop. It says Yahweh is going to bring them.
Yeah.
He's going to force them. While they're enemies of Israel, he is going to make them do this. And so, folks, this is something that, one of those things that has to happen. It's prophecy. It has to happen. These things have to happen. Pay attention.
Yeah.
Close.
Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet.
Stop. Persia is Iran. Go ahead.
Okay. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togomar and of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them.
Stop a second. All those nations that they're talking about, all that area, is absolutely Islamic. Absolutely. People still want to know about Russia. While that doesn't produce the Antichrist, it would not surprise me if Russia was in that mix, but they're not Meshach and Tubal. That is actually Turkey. Okay.
Okay. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them.
Okay, stop. Israel was brought forth out of the nations.
Yeah.
Even while people say, well, Israel, you know, right now isn't saved. Well, they're not supposed to be saved till Yeshua comes back. There's that point. But they have been brought. Israel went back to the nations. You know what I mean? It was no longer a nation, so it had to be pulled up out of the nations, just like all the nations around them. But now, but it's brought forth out of nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Let's stay on that safely, but you finish reading this and then I'll address it.
Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord Yahweh, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought.
Okay. Go ahead.
And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thy hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarsha, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry out away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take away spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord Yahweh, In that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou know it, shalt thou not know it.
What do they keep saying over and over in that little thing?
What
you've been reading here, it keeps pointing back to one thing. It's people of Israel that what?
Dwell safely.
dwelleth Savior, repeated at least three or four times there. I could go back and count. But, so now the question to present out there, well, is, so prophetically, Israel has to be dwelling safely. Now, what it means without walls or gates or whatever, yeah, there's some walls within the city, but they're talking about like the Jerusalem having, used to have a big wall around it, you know, fortress walls. There's no fortress walls there now, you know, so that part's. But are they dwelling safely? No. So, but for the Antichrist to invade, they have to be dwelling safely. So, when we point that out, okay, Israel currently, this can't happen yet. This invasion can't happen, but the accord that President Trump has brokered could very well lead to that peace. So, is President Trump's time over with yet? Well, folks, we'll just have to talk about that in a minute. The real point is Israel has to be in a comfortable place for this to happen. Think about it. Pray about it. For no other president has been able to form anything close to peace in the Middle East. So is the father done with Trump yet? I don't think so. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Where can they find out about us?
You can find out about the Mission Church, all the breaking updates, news, how to get a hold of us, contact information, and everything is at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Only but for a moment, when measured on God's time, we'll be seated together at the table of the Lord to dine. So save me a place you till my journey on earth is done, and you'll be the second one that I'll see. But first I want to see God's Son. Just a moment and I'll be there, but in the meantime God's love I'll share. Carry on without you, though the journey may be very hard, but Jesus will be here to help me against the enemy to stay on guard. I'm only in this world just to pass it through, with our precious Lord as my guide, and it'll only be just a little while, and I'll see you on the other side. Just a moment, and I'll be there. But in the meantime, God's love I'll share. I will miss you, but not for long. And I will sing to you this brand new song. I will sing to you this brand new song.
How many times have we heard it preached from Psalms 111 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Many times from the pulpits of those who teach that the Old Testament scriptures relating to God's commandments do not really apply to believers. A complete examination of the psalm proves otherwise. It informs us that all His commandments are sure, that they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness, and that God hath commanded His covenant forever. It was Jesus who wrote the Ten Commandments in stone and who said that until heaven and earth pass away, not even the slightest thing would pass from the law. In fact, if any of those commandments could have been changed, he would not have had to die. Because they could not, he laid down his life to pay the death penalty required for our past transgressions and sends us the Holy Spirit of promise, the earnest of our inheritance, so that we might have minds subject to the laws of God. In addition, Scripture reveals that the vast majority of times the term fear the Lord is used, it is directly associated with keeping His commandments and thereby doing His will. Yes, the fear of the Lord is truly the beginning of wisdom. But why is it that most who quote the Scripture stop in the middle of the verse? A full reading may provide the answer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Okay, we're back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin.
And Linda.
Yeah.
I was sidetracked by that feedback. It
okay. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Anyway, yeah, what were you doing?
I was sidetracked by that feedback that we got on the thing where you can hear yourself talk when you started talking.
Right, okay. So you were sidetracked. Okay. Well, women don't ever get sidetracked, do they, folks? Yeah, end of story. Okay. And that's not a down. It's just the way God made you, I guess. Anyway, and not that I don't get sidetracked.
And that's why we got so many things going on at once, because we sidetrack and then go back to what we was doing, and we sidetrack and we go back to what we was doing before
we
was doing
them.
And then we sidetrack and we go back to what we was doing before we was doing before we was doing, and we got eight things going at once, and then we get back to what we originally started.
Yeah, or you could just call you scatterbrain. Okay, anyway, back to the point. We were talking about how this deal with the UAE Emirates, and now them even on top of it, probably going to sell them F-35 fighter planes. Now, these nations are worried about Iran, and so they're actually, you know, that's forcing them into accord. No land for peace was given, nothing to the Palestinians. The Palestinian thing was a lie anyway. That was not their land in the first place. Blah, blah, blah. Israel's legally in the land. Their ancestors go way back before any Palestinians or anything such thing like that. But that isn't the point. But they've always used it as a sticking point with any peace with the Arab nation, saying that they will not have peace unless, you know, they won't recognize Israel as a country. None of these nations have ever said they have a right to be there. But now with these peace accords, these nations are saying they have a right to be there. This has never happened.
Right.
And all these other presidents have tried to do it. Well, two things one major thing's been against them. It was not the timing for it.
Right.
You know, the timing has to come at the right time, and it is coming at the right time. We're in that time of the end, and we're speeding forward prophetically. So, but as that word said over and over, Israel has to be dwelling safely. If these other nations around all get armed up and everything, they will have a pretext of being safely,
right.
You know, being existing safely, and let alone, there's another major factor. Within this accord, trade between that nation and Israel is skyrocketing. They're in this deal, they're going to trade back and forth with each other. Now, the United Arab Emirates is one of the richest nations in the world, and they have tons of money. They want to buy products and things from Israel. And so there's going to be great prosperity because of it coming.
And that's in the word, too. Israel prospers.
Well, right. Okay. Well, I had a Jewish rabbi on 10 years ago on radio, probably, and he wrote a book about the prophecies in Israel. And, you know, he was really hard to get an answer out of prophecy because they think different than we think because of Yeshua issue, right? Well, I kept wanting to know from him what was the one major thing that he saw that had not happened that would have to happen before Messiah comes. You know, finally, after a couple of weeks of having him on radio, because it took me, I kept having him on week after week until I could get it out of him. But he said the biggest thing that he saw was that Israel had not came to the height of the riches
right.
that they are supposed to have according to the word before Messiah would come. And so in his view, that's what it is. And also biblically, we look at Israel to be richer than they are. Richer than they are. So this will lead to that. Other nations are already signaling that they will go along with this. And the as for the Palestinians, I don't know what's going to happen with that situation. But right now, we gave every other peace accord. They gave up land for peace. They gave another little chunk of Israel to the Palestinians in hopes that it would bring peace. They didn't give anything for this. You know, in fact, they're going to prosper by making this with them, and both countries will. Plus, it is a pact of protection, you know, against Iran, which also drives Persia further into the arms of Turkey, which is, you know, which is actually, we're pretty sure that area is going to produce the Antichrist, which I won't even go into the possibilities of it right now. Excuse me. That would be a whole other program, and I'd rather have Joel Richardson answer that question than me. But anyway, so this is really, but it's really prophetic. So it goes back to that. Israel has to be in a comfortable place. So I really don't think that this peace deal, in order to make it with other nations, if Biden came in, if Biden was elected president, he's not going to try and broker any more deals like that. He's on the side of the Palestinians and everything, and he's not up to Trump's approach. So this deal would not go forward. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And especially those extended with other nations, because Trump is the broker of it. Yeah, the nations had to accept it. Trump didn't force them to it, but he got them to the table. You know what I'm saying? He got them to the table to talk. So, goes back to that. Do I think Trump will win the election? I think he honestly will win the election. But what happens afterwards, we'll talk about that in a minute. So for many reasons, I think the Democrats are too undivided to win any election, nor do they really have any faith in their party. As you can look at the ratings on broadcast networks of ABC, CBS, and NBC, we're down a staggering 42% with just 6.7 million viewers at 10 p.m. Cable networks, Fox News, MSNBC, CNN were also down 16% to nearly 12 million viewers. As such, this was pointed out, that amounts to fewer than 19 million views, or 28% of the viewership of the 2016 DNC. In other words, nobody
wanted to watch it.
They didn't want to watch it.
Well, once a bunch of idiots.
You know, well, exactly.
Well, and all they spin is lie after lie after lie, and you know they're lying.
Well, I caught you listening a couple times.
Because I wanted to hear some of their lies, and I was right. Lie after lie after lie. It just makes you want to throw up.
Yeah, it made me sick to death. To anything that was positive that was going on in the country, they were trying to take credit.
Well, but the problem with it is the people that don't know the truth buy into those lies, and that's their followers.
But their followers are waking up because of part
exactly.
of the
exactly. There's that 28% right there.
Well, the 28% is how
many viewers they lost. So that's how many's woke up to the lies.
Right, but here's my point. Let me get to my point. So they didn't watch. That's a good showing that, you know, they're not at it. I mean, but then you had, like, Michelle Obama up there trying to say, did say something that was very telling. And I didn't listen to all of it, but other people caught it and pointed it out. She said if Trump is reelected, the riots would get worse.
And I believe that wholeheartedly.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be good, win or lose, whether we win or whether we lose. But it's not. It's better that we win. It's going to be bad either way. If you want to know, look at the last 4 years. That's what we're looking for and looking forward to, because they're not going to give up. They haven't gave up yet.
Right. I think they're literally going to try either a civil war or another coup. But it depends on how dramatically Trump wins by.
Exactly. That's
if
what
it's close, then, you know, or if it's close or contested because of...
There's going to be some kind of chaos no matter what, so...
Right, right. And so that's why Americans need to be prepared. You know, I really think Trump is going to win by a landslide. I did research on lots of other things. Even TikTok is a very, very telling thing, especially when you see so many people of color proclaiming that. They're saying that the rest of the people in their race are just idiots.
Well, and the thing about TikTok is it's not edited. That stuff is all live. When you make a TikTok, it's a live video. There's no taking back.
Right, yeah, it's a minute and a half of live
stuff. Right, it's taken down and taken off, but there's no taking back.
Right, but the point is though, it gives, it's just like during the riots, and pro or con, the news media isn't stopping them from,
right,
from putting it forward, and so you're getting better views of, you know, of what's going on in the riots,
right,
is my point. Anyway, so will they accept the election? Now, Eric Rush is a black gentleman, and I say black because it's important to Eric. He's a black American, and he's a writer and things, and he writes for World Brent Daily. And this is his opinion, and it's in, so let's go with this. He said this, and I just pulled this up today.
One less common aspect of the Civil War as compared to other nations that have endured civil wars is that America was geographically divided at the time by the Mason-Dixon line, which divided the Union and the Confederate States. This more resembled traditional military conflicts with external and adversaries, and has colored many Americans' idea of what a civil war most nations generally involved.
Okay.
A civil war is like, unlike our civil war, civil wars in most nations generally involve desperate or dissident fractions fighting against each other and or whatever regime is holding power.
Okay, meaning that there's lines of conflict.
Right, government,
you know,
against
those
people.
Guys are not necessarily, well, it could be government against people, or it could be two different sides in a civil war and the government caught in the middle, but there's usually what he's talking about. When you think of a civil war, we think about it in America. Well, they were over there. It was the South and the North. It was
right.
A clear line. You understand? You know what
right.
I'm saying? And that's what the I'm explaining to the people. Two different lines. But in this, it's not two different lines as people are mixed together.
Okay, I'm not going to say that what we've been experiencing over the last 3 months has been the first salvos of civil war, but it sure looks like it. While hardline socialists in the Democratic Party are working within the political infrastructure, and behaving as though they are conducting the businesses of government according to the rule of law and constitutionally established procedures, they are, in fact, in the process of forming a civil war, or at least they have made it apparent that they are willing to go that far if they are not able to gain ascendancy via political means.
In other words, what they're saying is, what he's saying is, it's like this. Now, from his point of view, they've already started, and that's right. These riots are an example of how far they're willing to go.
Right. If they can't get the power by winning the election, they're going to try and take the power by force.
That's exactly what they're saying. Now, remember, we did, I don't know if we should remember, we talked about on radio over the last few weeks about how they had the war game thing.
Yeah.
Where they had three different scenarios of two with Trump actually losing. But the third was the most telling. The one where Trump actually won, they contested it, and the House went with them, and, the House sided with Biden and the Senate and, so on. So it was split, and they wanted a judge to intervene or the military. Now, having said that, let's go with this. If they get the mail-in, well, let's go on with this. How are they wanting to cause chaos?
How are they wanting to cause chaos?
In the election.
And by stealing the election, by having Biden win.
Okay, but no. What is it? They want to use a mail-in vote?
Oh, yeah, a mail-in ballot.
Okay, well, so this comes up about voter fraud. So is Trump off the rails about voter fraud? Well, let's listen to this.
Okay. Patterson, New Jersey, to hold a new election in the city council race marred by voter fraud charges. Both the race's apparent winner and a sitting councilman were charged with voter fraud. Patterson, New Jersey, a judge has ruled that a new election will be held in November for a disputed Patterson City Council seat, just weeks after the race's apparent winner and sitting councilman were charged with voter fraud. State Superior Court Judge Ernest Castellia issued a ruling on Wednesday. Alex Mendez had won a special election on May 12th to fill the seat, but claims of voter fraud were soon raised. An investigation was then launched after the U.S. Postal Service law enforcement arm told the State Attorney General's office about hundreds of mail-in ballots located in a mailbox in Patterson, along with more found in nearby Heldon. Ultimately, the Passaic County Board of Elections decided not to count 800 ballots cast in the race.
Okay. They've ordered a new election.
Yeah.
So is there voter fraud by mail? Is there a problem with mail-in ballots? You know what people say, well, they already have mail-in ballots. Do you know the difference between the absentee ballots that are done by mail and what they want is massive ballots?
I'm under the impression I think the absentee ballots have to be mailed in and reached to be counted before Election Day.
Okay, that's really not the difference in them. Here's the difference in them. On a ballot that's an absentee ballot that you can get, you can apply for it and they get it,
right,
you have to prove who you are.
Right, you have to apply for it and provide ID. I got them in the mail and threw them away. Yeah, you have to provide birth certificate and Social Security number to get a mail-in ballot.
Okay, but not these mail-in ballots.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to prove who you are.
No voter ID.
So they're automatically sent to you, and you just fill them out and send them back. And so no voter ID, no birth certificate, mm-hmm, none of that stuff. And so there's a difference between an absentee ballot and a...
No way to know if one person mailed in 5, 10, 100, or 2.
Okay, so what happens if they had a mailing ballot and it caused confusion and it didn't get settled in a couple of months? I told you about 2 weeks ago.
Then Pelosi takes the stand.
Whoever the Speaker of the House is saying there is a small possibility that if they lose the House and the Republicans take over, then there will be a different Speaker of the House.
Okay.
So it's a possibility that it could be a Republican Speaker of the House that becomes president. But you see why it's so important to vote not only for just the president, but we need to get the House back. So anyway, something's clearly afoot with them. protest. We shouldn't vote in person. I mean, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. You can clearly see that. I mean, these same people are saying that the coronavirus doesn't affect protesters, but it would.
Right. I seen a comparison picture of a bunch of people protesting in the street, and then a church building empty with pews. What's the difference? They're elbow to elbow walking down the street. Why can't they be elbow to elbow worshiping God?
It's because they're anti-God.
Exactly.
Okay, and any Christian that votes for their party ought to have their head examined.
Exactly,
because
it's,
you know,
all
what?
Evil. Everything they're about is evil.
Well, let's go
they
back.
They don't even have a platform, I don't think.
Their platform, well, if you look underlying their platform,
socialism.
Is socialism.
Right.
And they do have a platform. They want to kill babies. That's their platform. They want socialism.
Pedophilia to be legal.
Yes, all of the above. They want to keep, and they'd really like to just shut the churches. Period.
They want to keep trafficking women and children.
Right. Absolutely, all those things. But let's go with this. I remember back when, way back the first race when Obama won presidency, and I was watching the results. There was a commentator that came on, and because we was watching the votes go to Obama. And this commentator, and I do not remember who he was, but his words struck me like a rock. He said, what we're watching right now is the Christians must be voting for Obama, but they're not voting like a Christian should.
Right.
Because they don't know how a Christian's supposed to act. That sunk with me or hit me.
Well, that falls back on the church, I suppose, because they should be teaching the Word of God, not what they want to get money.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to. That's exactly what I was going to say. The problem goes back to the 501(c) and the way the church is structured. The pastor is supposed to be able to speak his mind. He's supposed to warn you. He's supposed to be able to tell, not get kicked out of being a pastor or fired from his job because he stood up and thought what Yahweh would say.
Well, I remember you go to church to get the Word of God and get convicted of your sins, repent and turn away and make it right and be of God, not go to church to give them money so they can go once a week and say you went to your, you know, it's just not what it used to be anymore.
Right. And of course, you know, a laborer's worth his hire. That's absolute. That's absolute. But the church is also supposed to be actually the welfare system.
If they're not teaching sin, how are you going to, and you're not reading your Bible every day and you only go once a week, how are you going to know what sin is if they're not teaching you about it?
There you go. How the word says, how would you know unless the preacher preach it to you?
Exactly.
And that's what it's supposed to be like. So there's the point. The church, and it goes back to that. We had all things come about after the church got politically correct. And of course, there's some churches out there that aren't that way, but most of the big mega churches and mainstream churches are that way. And that is the problem. And that's why these things are allowed. And real quickly, I want to address the thing. Somebody said, was making a comment on Facebook or something. They were talking about this corona was judgment against the church. It's judgment against the whole world. Look at that map.
Yeah,
up
it's
there.
Against,
you know,
the whole world, not
the
United States,
world.
Not just one place. It's worldwide,
yeah.
Judgment, just like the flood was worldwide judgment.
Yeah, even in New Zealand. In New Zealand, unless you take a test, they'll put you in a camp and keep you there until you take a test to see if you're coronated or not. But anyway, let's talk about the mission church. We're done with all that for now. And folks, by the way, we'll have Carl Gallup. He'll be up next. We're going to ask him some things. Anyway, first off, talk about what happened Friday. Or Tuesday.
What happened Tuesday is you got to the church and the freezer door was wide open. It wasn't completely defrosted, so I'm really not. There's no way it could. It got open Monday late afternoon, evening, because the top shelf of the freezer was still had ice, and the water bowls that I had in there that freeze ice was froze to the shelf and still were frozen solid. So it had to be Monday because we left Friday at 10 o'clock.
Right.
It had been open when we left. Everything would have been completely defrosted and ruined.
Okay, but there was blood all over the floor. All of the hamburger meat was in the state. There was no way to refreeze it at all whatsoever. And we did lose some other things.
Yeah,
that were
everything
in
the freezer was gone except for the hamburger.
Okay, so what did you do with the hamburger?
Well, I put 30 pounds in the oven and baked it with stewed crushed tomatoes and with some spices for dinner, and then my daughter-in-law, Daniela, fried up the other 50 pounds, and I bagged it up. I think I got 8 more meals out of it. crumbled, but it's ready. And then I refroze it. But yeah, I had to cook it to refreeze it. Cause,
but yeah, even though you saved some of that hamburger, like you say, you did 30 pounds for dinner.
Meal.
What do you usually spend for a meal?
5 pounds.
5 pounds of hamburger feed 60 people.
Yeah. I would have had 16 meals out of it, but I got seven. I got eight out of it.
Maybe.
So half. So it turned it into half. But at least I got half of it. And when you did the video, when you first got there, we had somebody send money to replace the whole thing. So the Lord looked out for us again.
Right, right. Yeah, we did have. And so, yeah, that's what I was going to point out. We did have somebody, a supporter came forward and give us the money to be able to replace everything in it. So that was a blessing. But
so good. See, that's another example of the Lord uses bad to do good all the time. Because guess what? The people got blessed with a real good hamburger crumble sandwich dinner that they would have never got before. I wouldn't have did 30 pounds because I couldn't afford it, but they got a hamburger dinner with a bunch of other
stuff.
How many
people did you feed?
We do 60 plates every Tuesday and Friday.
How many did you do?
But I did 67.
You did 67.
They kept coming.
They kept coming and coming. 67 plates of food. Folks, we need large print King James Version Bibles, and we need your support for the Mission Church. Pray about supporting us, but let's go back to this. Folks, I really want to emphasize with you folks that you need to have a water source and a heat source and a food source. You need to do it before this winter. It ain't going to hurt to always have these things, but you need to this winter. This is just how I feel. It's time, I think, again, probably this winter, you may be needing to shut up your doors and stay inside and stay out of the conflict.
And I've always been raised and taught by my mom. She always taught us, if you get a cell and it's something you use and you don't need it, get it anyway because you're going to need it. So I've always been a stalker. So you always, even when you go to the store, instead of buying one, buy two. That way when it happens, when something happens, like when COVID hit, you won't be in panic and not being able to get anything. I know a couple people that had to go to 5 or 6 different stores and still never found what they needed. That's how bad the shelves were empty. So get what you need now and get double. Get two of what you use so that you have a extra when you need it.
Oh, you said stalker, not stalker.
I'm not stalking you. I'm stalking shelves, baby.
I don't know. Back in the day, I think you did used to stalk.
Oh, did I just admit on national radio that I'm a stalker?
That's what I thought you did. You know, somebody ought to do something about it.
See, there's always another meaning. There's always two meanings.
Yeah, well, anyway, and Frank pointed out, yeah, bags of rice and flour.
And beans.
And if you can, you better get some
yeast.
Even Kent Rollins was making donuts last night and I love Kent Rollins on YouTube. He was making homemade donuts, and he would put some yeast in, and he said, this stuff's scarce nowadays.
Right, because I used to buy it by 2-pound bags, and I can't even find them anymore.
Okay, we only got a couple, half a minute. If you don't wish to help with support, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or over the telephone. Mail a check or money order. You can find all the information where at
prophecyhour.com. prophecyhour.com.
And if they don't want to help with the poor, again, radio airtime is great. Okay, you better tell them.
And newsletters going out tomorrow or Monday. And have a good weekend. Shalom.
Depending on if I can get that printer fixed, just pray about supporting us. We must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. You want to say anything else? Okay, no. All right. Lord God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father would bless him, Father, that you bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.
Thank you.